Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He loves us, He is wise, He's powerful, and He calls us to put our faith in Him, to set our feet on that rock which will never move. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Secure in the Everlasting Arms and God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you put your faith in the solid rock, study the unchanging word with us today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, reading again from that amazing devotional book called My Utmost for His Highest. Last week and the early part of this week, we were talking about Oswald Chambers' life. He was a young man when he died, only 43. So it's amazing the spiritual insights that the Lord had given him. And as I've often noted, he was tough. I mean, he was very tough in presenting the truth of God. And the truth of God is often tough on us, isn't it? We are so namby-pamby and so addicted to comfort and fun. It's not so easy to swallow some of the things he says, but test them with the straight edge of Scripture, and you'll find that they're true. He was very down to earth. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:31 that if we eat and drink, that we are to eat and drink for the glory of God. And so that's a way of pointing out to us that we're not to expect any credit for the ordinary everyday necessities of life. There's no virtue in our eating or drinking, but these things are God's gifts to us, and they are meant to be enjoyed and to be offered up and to be given thanks for. Do you remember to thank God every day for food and drink? Well, if we can glorify God even in our eating and drinking, which are just human, humble necessities of every day, that shows us that anything at all that we do can be done for the glory of God. It doesn't have to be something virtuous. That's an important lesson for us to remember. Chambers says, if we are devoted to the cause of humanity, we shall soon be crushed and brokenhearted. For we shall often meet with more ingratitude from men than we would from a dog. But if our motive is love to God, no ingratitude can hinder us from serving our fellow men. We are apt to be devoted not to Jesus Christ, but to the things which emancipate us spiritually. That was not Paul's motive. I could wish myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. Wild, extravagant is it, says Chambers. When a man is in love, it is not an exaggeration to talk in that way. And Paul is in love with Jesus Christ. Again, speaking about the verse in 1 Corinthians 10, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. He says, beware of allowing yourself to think that the shallow concerns of life are not ordained of God. They are as much of God as the profound. It's not your devotion to God that makes you refuse to be shallow, but your wish to impress other people with the fact that you are not shallow, which is a sure sign that you are a spiritual prig. Be careful of the production of contempt in yourself. It always comes along this line and causes you to go about as a walking rebuke to other people because they are more shallow than you are. Beware of posing as a profound person. God became a baby. Our safeguard is in the shallow things. We have to live the surface, common sense life in a common sense way. When the deeper things come, God gives them to us apart from the shallow concerns. Never show the deeps to anyone but God. We are so abominably serious, so desperately interested in our own characters, that we refuse to behave like Christians in the shallow concerns of life. Determinedly take no one seriously but God, And the first person you find you have to leave severely alone as being the greatest fraud you have ever known is yourself. I think I better read that one again. Determinedly take no one seriously but God. And the first person you find you have to leave severely alone as being the greatest fraud you have ever known is yourself. Am I a spiritual prig? I'm afraid I am. I'm afraid that that's all too accurate a label for Elizabeth Elliot. I don't want it to be that way. Do you know what a prig is? Well, the dictionary says it's a humorous designation for a person who is too punctilious and irritates by rigid observance of proprieties in speech, manner, and self-sufficient in virtue. Alas, you're listening to a woman who is a spiritual prig at times. May God deliver me from it. But I know I'm too punctilious. I know I irritate my husband and lots of other people by rigid observance of proprieties in speech. I can't stand for people to pronounce things improperly or to speak in a tiny baby voice if they're an adult. Rigid observance of proprieties in speech, manner, and self-sufficient in virtue. Well, let me read you what he says about that. If you are going to be used by God, he will take you through a multitude of experiences that are not meant for you at all. They are meant to make you useful in his hands and to enable you to understand what transpires in other souls so that you will never be surprised at what you come across. Oh, I can't deal with that person. Why not? God gave you ample opportunity to soak before him on that line, and you barged off because it seemed stupid to spend time in that way. The sufferings of Christ are not those of ordinary men. He suffered according to the will of God, not from the point of view we suffer from as individuals. It's only when we are related to Jesus Christ that we can understand what God is after in his dealings with us. It is part of Christian culture to know what God's aim is. In the history of the Christian church, the tendency has been to evade being identified with the sufferings of Christ. Men have sought to procure the carrying out of God's order by a shortcut of their own. God's way is the way of suffering, the way of the long, long trail. Are we partakers of Christ's sufferings? Are we prepared for God to stamp our personal ambitions right out? Are we prepared for God to destroy by transfiguration our individual determinations? It will not mean that we know exactly why God is taking us that way. That would make us spiritual prigs. We never realize at the time what God is putting us through. We go through it more or less misunderstandingly. Then we come to a luminous place and say, "Why, God has girded me, though I did not know it." And here's one on individuality. This man was a thinker. Matthew 16:24 says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." Can you imagine selling that idea in this day and age? Chambers says, "Individuality is the husk of the personal life. Individuality is all elbows. It separates and isolates. It's the characteristic of the child, and rightly so. But if we mistake individuality for the personal life, we will remain isolated. The shell of individuality is God's created natural covering for the protection of the personal life. But individuality must go in order that the personal life may come out and be brought into fellowship with God. Individuality counterfeits personality, as lust counterfeits love. God designed human nature for himself. Individuality debases human nature for itself. I better repeat that one. God designed human nature for himself. Individuality debases human nature for itself. The characteristics of individuality are independence and self-assertiveness. It's the continual assertion of individuality that hinders our spiritual life more than anything else. If you say, "I cannot believe," it is because individuality is in the road. Individuality never can believe. Personality cannot help believing. Watch yourself when the Spirit of God is at work. He pushes you to the margins of your individuality. And you have either to say, "I won't," or to surrender, to break the husk of individuality and let the personal life emerge. The Holy Spirit narrows it down every time to one thing, the thing in you that will not be reconciled to your brother is individuality. God wants to bring you into union with himself. But unless you are willing to give up your right to yourself, he cannot. Let him deny himself. That's what the Bible says. Deny his independent right to himself, and then the real life has a chance to grow.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.